What is up, everyone? Welcome back to our little podcast here at Fandango. My name is Eric Davis, and joining me, as always, is Sean O'Connell. You could read both of us at the movie blog on Fandango. After you buy your tickets, just scroll up to the top of the main page and you'll see movie blog on there. Click on that. There's all kinds of cool stuff. We talk about all the big movie news that's out, all the big trailers and posters and stuff that you're going to want to know about, you're going to want to see is in that blog. So definitely after you buy your movie tickets, come over to the blog, hang out with us, have fun. The podcast is in that blog, and here we are. We're going to talk about a hot topic, and then we're going to talk about something related to a movie that's coming out this weekend. Sean, what are our topics today?
Well, today we're getting into Kickstarter, which is a word that people who have been tracking movie blogs have been hearing a lot recently. And I think the biggest story that broke was a couple of weeks ago when the people behind the Veronica Mars TV show, which was canceled after a couple of seasons, threw the idea out to Kickstarter, which is an online service where people can essentially donate money to a project that they believe in. The people behind Veronica Mars wanted to get a movie going. They said they had a script. They appealed to the fan base, and they raised way more money than they anticipated. So this morning, Zach Braff, who most probably know him as the actor from the NBC show Scrubs, but he also did what I thought was a really great movie and a well-received movie called Garden State a few years ago. He is launching his own Kickstarter project for a movie that he would like to direct called Wish I Was Here. And I think when he finished Garden State, he had a lot of heat and people were waiting to see what he was going to do next. And through, you know, various types of obstacles and red tape that stopped just about everybody from launching a film project, he just wasn't able to get it off the ground. And now that he sees, he says in a quote, "After I saw the incredible way Veronica Mars fans rallied around Kristen Bell and her show's creator Rob Thomas, I couldn't help but think maybe there is a new way to finance smaller personal films that didn't involve signing away all your artistic control." Eric and I started kicking this around because it's a big story and a growing story and one that keeps evolving, because I'm not sure where you draw the line of who should be relying on Kickstarter to get a movie funded. Without a doubt, it's difficult to get a movie off the ground in today's day and age because studios are tighter with their purse strings unless you look like you're going to have a bona fide blockbuster, and it might shut out some people who have an artistic voice and have a smaller project they want to get done. But I'm on the side that says someone like Zach Braff, who has some money from a hit sitcom and from a movie that did pretty well, probably shouldn't be reaching out to fans via Kickstarter to drum up some funds. But Eric, I think you disagree with me.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big, I guess, controversial angle. A lot of people that I've been following the story on Twitter, it's a really big story right now. As of this recording, I think he's approaching $750,000.
He's looking for $2 million. For $2 million.
Looking for $2 million. I could see him – he'll probably get – four or something like that by the time the 30 days are up. But yeah, should high-profile celebrities – and I don't know how high-profile Zach Braff is – but should celebrities who have money from their previous success and current success be allowed to go on to Kickstarter and ask people for money? You know, I feel like, look, if you have done the work to amass a fan base that really love what you do, and you have a relationship with this fan base. Zach Braff, you know, I haven't been following for a while, but when he did Garden State and a little bit after Garden State, he had his website and he really sort of nurtured this fan base that he has. And I'm sure he still has it. I haven't gone and seen what he's doing now with those fans, but similar to other celebrities like Kevin Smith and Veronica Mars, you know, there are certain kind of people and projects that just have massive fan bases. And he says, look, why can't I just get my fan base involved in making this? And, you know, he seems like the kind of guy where he probably could have raised the money to make this film, but his financiers wanted control. They wanted to say, no, I don't want you to cast that person. I want this person. This shouldn't be set here. It should be sexier. It should be this. And he wants to make the film the way he wants to make it, the way he feels his fans will like it the most. You know, I don't have a problem with it. He's giving his fans little rewards, you know, like $100 gets you into an advanced screening of it. And, you know, even less money, $10 gets you this, you know, $20 gets you that. And I feel like, you know, Kickstarter exists so people can ask, you know, can fund projects. If you're a celebrity or not a celebrity, I almost feel like Zach Braff and what he's doing brings more attention to Kickstarter, whereas other projects may be discovered by people who wouldn't necessarily discover them if they didn't go to see what Zach Braff is doing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. And I guess the thing that I am opposed to is putting up money to potentially see something that you're going to have to pay for again a second time. And I guess if you could – like $10 is what the cost of a movie ticket is right now. So if you were able to put up $10 and it meant when this movie comes out, you're able to walk into it because you were, you know, one of the earlier supporters of it, then I'm a little bit more open to it. I just don't see – I don't like the idea of having to pay for art that hasn't been created yet, and then they're going to charge you for it again the second time. And especially from someone, like you said, who's a little more established than, say, the starving indie filmmaker, you know, who just really believes in the script that he's written and this is going to be his first project. And I think we all both agree, you know, if it was another filmmaker along the lines of, you know, a Spielberg or, you know, someone like Michael Bay, who was like, oh, well, I'm just going to save the studio some money and we're going to put it on Kickstarter and everybody wants to see, you know, the next Indiana Jones film, so you guys pay for it. It feels like there's something wrong about that.
I mean, it's also a business decision. You know, he could quietly go off and make this movie. It could quietly play at Sundance and maybe quietly or not so quietly get a couple of $1 million and then be dropped into theaters and nobody really knows anything about it. One thing that I've seen with Zach Braff is that he likes to work with his fan base. He likes to work with the people who like his movies, you know? And so it's a smart business decision to put it on Kickstarter to get all of this people, all of these people talking about it and watching the project now. And, you know, I completely understand where you're coming from. That $10 for a movie ticket, $10 pledging to this should at least get you in to see the movie that you're paying. Unfortunately, the world doesn't always work that way. But if people are okay with it.
Sometimes it blows up in people's face. I think we should bring up Melissa Joan Hart. Melissa Joan Hart started a Kickstarter campaign. She was Sabrina the Teenage Witch. She was in a movie called Drive Me Crazy, things like this. She grew up on Nickelodeon. She started a Kickstarter for a movie she wanted to do called Darcy's Walk of Shame. I'm on the page right now. She wanted to do $2 million. She's at $35,000. Now, Braff, I just checked his page too. He's over $600,000. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, when an artist has a fan base and he works with them exclusively, and Braff really does. I mean, you're right. He launched that website and the blog that went around Garden State. He had a great dialogue going with his fan base. And I think people were buying the soundtrack. They were getting into what he was doing. I could see them turning around to support them. But it's also really questionable, you know, for celebrities who say, oh, we should try this too. And then they realize that they don't have the following that they thought they did. And I'll bet you this Darcy's Walk of Shame project never makes it to theaters because people don't have an interest in it or as much of an interest that they need to get it started.
No, I think Garden State was one of those films. I remember when it came out. It was just one of those films that became a cult hit. You know, I think the people who grew up with Sabrina the Teenage Witch, I don't know how much of a cult was around that television show. But yeah, you know, it's I say if you have the fan base and they support you, then by all means, have at it. And
have you donated to a Kickstarter program?
I've donated to one Kickstarter project for a buddy that was making a movie. I have not, but I was saying on Twitter, I don't have money. I don't have the money. I'm lucky I have money to take out Chinese food once a week. I don't have the money to donate, you know. But if there are people out there who have some extra money and they're big fans of Zach Braff and they want to donate, or if there's another project out there that you want to donate to, then go for it. I did donate also this week. You know, Kickstarter isn't the only website of like this around. They have Indiegogo also does this, but then there's also websites that help you give people money for other things. You know, there's this other website that you can help people that don't have medical insurance if they're facing something. And one of our colleagues who writes for a website was just diagnosed with acute leukemia. And there's a website going around helping him raise money. He doesn't have health insurance, and he's about to start chemotherapy last week. And so a bunch of us are giving money to that, and I did donate to that.
Now that's a project I can get behind, yeah. Absolutely.
Yes, yep. But and people are comparing the two, and there's no comparisons. You can't.
No.
You can't. These aren't the only two projects. Only two things asking for money right now online. One is completely different from the other one, and everybody has their reasons for what they donate to.
I just feel it's a slippery slope. I mean, I'm sure you hear the same thing from me from all these people who say that you take a gamble on a movie, you know, and it's cost a lot of money to go to a movie, and I hate to see people pitching in money and gambling on a film that hasn't even come out yet that they then have to gamble and pay to see if it turned out the way that they wanted it to turn out a second time. It feels like a dangerous precedent.
It is dangerous, but you know what? If they want to spend their money in this way, then that's you know, freedom.
Yeah, that's their choice.
Right? Freedom of this country. You could do whatever you want with your money. And we wish Zach Braff good luck. This weekend, Michael Bay returns to theaters, and Michael Bay returns to theaters with a very interesting film. It's not a Transformers sequel. It's not some giant monstrosity, and it's not 4th of July weekend. So it's the end of April, and it's a smaller film that's based on a true story that stars The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and Mark Wahlberg, and it's a little bit of a dark comedy, and it sort of reeks of him doing this one for Michael Bay, you know, after doing several for the studio. You know, this we're getting a Michael Bay off three straight Transformers movies. And now,
and getting ready for a fourth one, too.
And here he is with Pain and Gain. And once again, the conversation kind of turns to, is Michael Bay a good filmmaker? Does he deserve, you know, like Zach Braff, does he deserve our money? Is he making good films or is he not making good films? Does he deserve to make films that aren't massive Transformers movies, franchise movies? Can he also do something smaller and be successful at it? What do you think?
I love this conversation. And I love it because we're finally able to separate Michael Bay from the Transformers franchise, if just for a minute, to be reminded that this is a guy who did, you know, The Rock and did The Island and did Armageddon. And he wasn't always just the Transformers director. And I'm a big fan of Bay when he separates himself from that franchise. I still don't think he's figured out the formula of the Transformers movies, which is really funny to say because they are extremely successful. You know, they've made over $1 billion, I'm pretty sure, if I double check the numbers. So it's interesting to hear that he's doing something different and trying something different. And I think Pain and Gain, you know, everyone says that it's a different film for him, but it has all of the Michael Bay style points and a few of his crutches. I mean, his movies can go a little bit long, but man, they are soaked in just adrenaline and machismo and all of these things that it's really funny. Like, the people who don't like Bay, they point at all of these things of like, oh, it's more of this. But the people who love Bay, and obviously he has his audience, they point at those exact same things and they say, yes, we want more of that in a Michael Bay movie. And I just loved this story. I mean, it's based on a true story of these bodybuilders down in Miami who they're tired of living paycheck to paycheck. They're tired of never being able to get ahead. And so, led by Mark Wahlberg's character, they decide to kidnap a wealthy business owner who comes into Wahlberg's gym and hold him for ransom to essentially have him sign over his fortune. And in a Fargo-type way, everything just goes wrong and keeps going wrong and escalates to the point where these guys just have to keep digging themselves out. And that's the fun of the ride. I loved Wahlberg in this movie. I mean, if you can imagine his Boogie Nights character of a guy who just he really wants to succeed. He wants to be the best that he can be, but he's just not smart enough to make it happen.
That's what I see in the trailers. I just see Boogie Nights is where I see Wahlberg going with this.
And so people are describing it as Michael Bay's Boogie Nights. And if that doesn't intrigue you, stay away from it. But if you want to see Michael Bay put his spin on this type of material, then Pain and Gain is right up your alley.
Yeah, I like Michael Bay. I've always liked Michael Bay. You know, my father kind of raised me as becoming fans of filmmakers and actors and actresses who give you your money's worth at the movies. Right. We go to the movies to be entertained. And Michael Bay, I think he uses that big screen to his advantage. And he really – I feel like he goes in full force into a movie and he says – he bust his ass to give you your money's worth at the movies. Maybe they may not all be the most intellectual movies. Right. They may not have the kind of story that you're looking for. I haven't been crazy about the fact that he's been trapped in four Transformers movies. I'd like to actually, you know, I'm glad he did Pain and Gain, and after Transformers 4, I hope he does move on and does more Michael Bay-esque stuff, but just not Transformers movies.
But he's as much of a brand as Spielberg or Scorsese. Like, when you go to he's an auteur. You know, I'm blanking on his name.
David Ehrlich.
David Ehrlich, who writes for movies.com. He's with film.com right now. He's a huge supporter of Bay, and that surprised me. But he brought up a point that I wanted to reiterate here, is that Bay's movie Armageddon was featured in the Criterion Collection, and that shocked a lot of people. But Criterion, they focus on auteurs, and Bay is an auteur. I mean, he has a voice, and it's consistent
distinctive
from film
vision.
To film.
He's got a distinctive vision.
You know what you're getting out of his films, and if you can dial into that larger-than-life type of storytelling, he like you said, he gives it to you every single time. You're going to get your money's worth out of one of these films, and Pain and Gain is one of those films.
Yeah, and I understand that people – you know, kind of like to knock him, but I think he's done his work. I think he's done a great job. Some of his films are hit more than they you know are misses, and some are hits. But regardless, yes, you get your money's worth with Michael Bay. I think he deserves our respect, and as a filmmaker and as an auteur.
But why don't we don't think – I don't think we – like last year, Fast Five launched the summer season a little bit earlier than people anticipated because it was a huge hit. I don't think we think this is going to be a huge hit. Do you?
No, I don't think it's going to be a huge hit. And it's – I think it'll sort of be a smaller film.
Right.
And I'm curious to see. I don't know what it's going to do because it's not a typical – big franchise. You know, Michael Bay's used to being on 4th of July weekend. He's used to owning that giant summer slot. He has for a long time now. So
right.
It's very interesting to see him come out with a smaller film that still has him all over it.
Right.
But just not
huge stars. I mean, Wahlberg and The Rock are huge stars right now.
Yeah,
so
yeah, you're getting The Rock at a big time as well, and Wahlberg. So it'll be curious. And if it doesn't make a lot of money, maybe it's because people didn't know what kind of film it was and stayed away from it because of that.
His last movie that wasn't a Transformers movie was The Island in 2005. Mm-hmm. It opened to $12 million and only went on to make $35 million.
Wow.
I think this does better than that, but it's not going to touch Transformers money. They opened to 70, 108, and 97 million, and I don't think it's going to get near there, but I could see it landing right in the middle.
Yeah, that's crazy that it opened till $12 million.
Dollars. Yes, I know.
Wow.
I'm trying to see what date it opened. Oh, and it was a July 22nd release. That's interesting.
Yeah. Right. Well, Michael Bay, let's see how he does. Not in the summer. Pain and Gain, it's a recommend. Go see it, especially if you like Michael Bay, especially if you like Dwayne Johnson and Mark Wahlberg. These two guys deliver really great performances in the film. Sean, you agree?
Yeah, totally agree. Definitely. And next week we have Iron Man 3, which is the kickoff to the summer season. So we've got Marvel Phase 2 launching. I think it's going to just swallow everything in its path until the next big blockbuster behind it, which would be Gatsby or Star Trek or – man, the season's getting underway.
It gets underway. I see Iron Man 3 on Monday. I think Sean sees it on Tuesday. We'll record on Wednesday and we'll tell you what we thought. Until then, stay tuned and have a great rest of your week and have a great weekend at the movies.